Am I on? Okay. Thank you, Lord. Hello, everybody.
Hi.
Brother Steve is not feeling well today. I'm sorry, yeah. All you kiddos. Normally really love Brother Steve in Children's Church, huh?
Amen.
So we're going to pray for him today.
Yeah.
If you need to take the boys to nursery, Joy can still be in there, just however you feel about that. All right, let's start with prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, God, we lift up Brother Steve to you, Lord. We just thank you for how faithful he is, God.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, he is your faithful servant. God, we lift him up to you, Lord. We ask you would heal his body from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Mm-hmm. And God, if anyone else is sick, Lord, we lift them up to you. In Jesus' name, we bind up sicknesses going throughout our cities, our towns, our families, our nation. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. So, Michael had to work a lot this week and all day yesterday and tonight. So, that's why he's not up here. Normally, he would go first. So, I'm wearing this lapel today because I can't hold the mic that long, so just bear with me today. I'm getting used to wearing this. All right, so today we're going to talk about we need Jesus. You know, I don't think that people really, really understand how much they need Jesus. You know, if we all understood how much we need Jesus, then we would help other people understand
yes.
how much they need Jesus.
Right.
You know, but if we don't understand how much we need him, we can't tell other people about him. Amen. We can't tell people how much he loves them if we don't understand how much he loves us. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So turn to Romans chapter 8. I'm going to read King James, and I'm going to switch back and forth from the Amplified, okay? We're going to start at verse 1. Thank you, Lord. Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. You know, the law of the Spirit of life is different from the law of spirit and death. The law of the Spirit of life is that Jesus came, he paid the sacrifice for our sins once and for all. That's the law of the Spirit of life. The law of the Spirit of death, all it does is just point out the wrong things that we've done. It just shows us how evil we are. It shows us what sins we've committed, but it can't do anything for us. It just points us out, showing us how wrong we are. But the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has paid the penalty once and for all. It's so powerful that we can go before the Lord and there is no guilty verdict. Jesus has paid the penalty. We can go before him and Jesus is constantly interceding for us, constantly telling us, you are mine.
Amen.
If you are in me and I am in you, you are completely cleansed. There is no condemnation. Amen? Okay, so one thing that we need to recognize is every single person in the world is under the law of the Spirit of death. Whether they like it or not, whether they realize it or not, every single person in the entire world, someday they're going to stand before the Lord. All of us will stand before the Lord. And we're going to give an account of everything we are. And those who have been in darkness, you know, it says they'll see a great light. Those who have denied the light, they're going to stand before the Lord. And suddenly it's like they've been in a cave and it just switched the light on. And they're going to be like, oh my gosh, what those people said was true. Jesus is real. He really did die for us. He really did pay the sacrifice. How come I didn't get it?
Right.
There are going to be people who go through their whole lives and then suddenly they get to that moment and they'll be destined to hell. And that will be hard to see, but we will have to see that. We will see people that we love be destined to hell, and that will be hard. Amen. So let's minister to them now.
Yep.
Amen. Just like Miss Penny said. Okay, so I'm going to read this. Let's see. I'm going to switch to the Amplified and start at verse 3. Romans 8:3. For what the law could not do, that is, overcome sin and remove its penalty and its power, being weakened by the flesh, man's nature without the Holy Spirit, God did. He sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful man as an offering for sin. And he condemned sin in the flesh, subdued it, and overcame it in the person of his own Son, so that the righteous and just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not live our lives in the ways of the flesh, guided by worldliness and our sinful nature, but live our lives in the ways of the Spirit, guided by his power. Amen. For those who are living according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, which gratify the body. But those who are living according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit, his will and purpose. Now the mind of the flesh is death, both now and forever, because it pursues sin. But the mind of the Spirit is life and peace, the spiritual well-being that comes from walking with God, both now and forever. The mind of the flesh, with its sinful pursuits, is actively hostile to God. It does not submit itself to God's law, since it cannot. And those who are in the flesh, living a life that caters to sinful appetites and impulses, cannot please God. What does it say in Hebrews 11:6? It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And I just want to bring out part of this. It says, when you set your mind to live according to the flesh, that's how you're going to live. But if you set your mind according to the Spirit, that's how you're going to live. You have to make a choice. How are you going to live in this life? Every little decision that you make is going to turn you one way or the other. And in chapter 7, Paul talks about, man, I hate this sinful flesh. I hate it. Because things that I want to do, and I know they're right before the Lord, I don't do. And then things that I don't want to do, I do anyway. It's like all of these, you know, even Paul, who had a radical transformation with Jesus Christ. Jesus appeared to Paul. He was radically transformed. Even he had to put up with the sinful flesh every day. So how much more do we have to put up with it? And even Jesus had to put up with the flesh every day. How much more do we have to put up with? So don't give up. Don't despair. When your flesh is condemning you, when your flesh is like, you're not going to make it, when your flesh says, oh, well, you messed up again, you might as well give up, you don't give up. Don't give up. We were listening to a song the other day, and it says, the words are, don't you give up on me. And God is just constantly prodding us by the Holy Spirit. Don't you give up on me. This is a short little life, and the rest is eternity. Amen. This short little life, we can make it through. We can get through this one step at a time if we just trust and hope in Jesus. Every single little decision that we make. You know, I know it's hard. As we go on, it talks about sufferings. You know, I know it's hard when the world comes at you and makes you think that things would be easier if you weren't a Christian. Things would be easier if you would just compromise a little bit. If you would just give in a little bit here and a little bit there, then you could get along with the world and you could get along with Christians. I mean, doesn't that sound good? You could get along with everybody, but you can't. Amen. It sounds good because the world makes it sound good, but you cannot get along with the world and you cannot get along with Jesus and try to mix them together. You know, in 1 Peter, God showed me this morning, what he wants us all to hear is that we need to be holy as he is holy. God is a holy God, and he has not called us to, you know, it says in 1 Peter that he set us apart. And we are part of Israel. We are part of that seed of salvation. God chose Israel, and out of Israel came the Messiah. And we are part of that. Amen? So we need to live as if We are the sons and daughters of God because we are. Amen. We can't say live in America and say that we're Americans and yet say, no, we're of another nation. You know, like, wouldn't it be strange if I went to you and I was like, well, I'm actually European, even though I'm American. No. No, I'm not. I am American. You know, and like people say, well, we descended from here and there, but I was born in America and I live in America and I'm American. Right. Amen. Yep. So if you're a Christian, you live as a Christian. It doesn't matter where you're at in the world. You are set apart to live as a Christian. You are to be holy as Jesus is holy, because that's who you really are. Amen. All right, so I think I want to keep reading, but I just want to read something real quick. So, you know, a lot of times we look at people like the lost, for example, and we just feel like, especially our neighbors and our relatives, like, how do we even minister to them? How do we reach the lost? What do we say? How do we go after them? You know, how do I talk to them? You need the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Amen. You cannot talk to anyone without the power of the Holy Spirit. It can be one of those things where you may know what to say, but it may not be the right thing. But the Holy Spirit knows exactly what a person needs to hear. Like, you may have a neighbor who 20 years ago did hear about the Lord, but is not serving the Lord because of some hurt or some circumstance in their life where they don't want to hear about the Lord anymore. But then 20 years later, maybe their heart is softened a little bit. Maybe the Holy Spirit has worked in their lives a little bit here and there. And then finally, they're open to receiving whatever it is the Lord wants to show them. Those opportunities, those times where the Lord is opening up people's hearts, God will show you if you are sensitive. Amen. So don't wonder, you know, don't even think about it. Just follow the Holy Spirit. God will show you exactly that person that you need to minister to. And you know, sometimes it's people in our own households. Sometimes it's people that we've known for our whole lives. And then suddenly God opens up their hearts and you're able to talk to them exactly what they need to hear. And how many of us have been ministered to that time in our lives, where we have been going through something and then suddenly God brings someone and they minister to you exactly what you need to hear? I have had that happen so many times. Even as a Christian, you need that encouragement to keep you going, to keep you built up. You need to know that you are important as an individual. God has us as a body of Christ, but each of us individually are important to him just as much as anyone else. Amen? Whether you are a new Christian or you've been serving him for 50 years, he cares about you deeply in every single maturity level that you're at. Amen? Every single person, right? All right, so let's go on in Romans. I'm going to keep reading out of Amplified. Verse 9. However, you are not living in the flesh, controlled by the sinful nature, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God lives in you, directing you and guiding you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him and is not a child of God. If Christ lives in you, though your natural body is dead because of sin, your spirit is alive because of righteousness, which he provides. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Amen. Right. So not only does he care about you in your spirit, he cares about your physical body. He cares about what you're going through. You know, it's automatic. When you receive Jesus, that life that's inside of you, it actually brings life to your physical as well. You know, there are a lot of Christians who don't realize that. You know, they think that it's a separate thing. You know, like healing is, you know, the doctors take care of that. They don't see the whole significance of how important the Spirit of God is inside of you. And when He's inside of you, the Holy Spirit automatically brings life to your whole being. Amen? You don't realize it because you live in it. You know, if you're not saved, you don't understand that separation. But if you were not saved for a really, really long time and then suddenly you get saved, you see the difference. But sometimes us who have been saved for many, many years, you know, we get comfortable with that, and then we start actually going back to the flesh a little bit more, and then a little bit more, because we're comfortable in our healing. We're comfortable in, well, I'm okay with Jesus not healing me this time. I can handle this. Isn't that what we go through sometimes?
Yes.
We may not say that out loud, but in our head we're thinking that. Well, it's just a headache. I can just take something for it. It's just a cold. I don't really need prayer. You know, it's okay. I can get through it. You need Jesus for everything. Amen? Even like what Brother Steve is going through, it may not seem much, but he's not here today. So what do? We need to pray for him.
Amen.
Amen? Every time a person is missing whatever they're going through, we need to be praying for each other. Amen? So I'm going to do something a little bit different today because I feel like sometimes I don't do this enough, and I probably should, because you never know what, like today we have children in here, we never know who actually has received Jesus and who has not. So today I'm going to pause in the middle of this because we need Jesus.
Yes.
Amen. And we can't recognize how much he can do for us if we don't recognize that we need him in us first. Amen. So we're going to just pause for a minute, and I want you to just bow your heads and close your eyes and just repeat after me. If you've already received Jesus, just say this anyway. We'll say this as a body. Amen. Jesus, today we come to you.
Jesus, today we come to you.
We know you are right here with us.
We know that you are right here with us.
We ask you to forgive us for all our sins.
We ask you to forgive us for all our sins.
We choose to believe that you did die on the cross for us.
We choose to believe that you did die on the cross for us.
Taking all of our sins.
Taking all of our sins.
And becoming the penalty for everyone, no matter how big or small.
And for becoming the penalty for everyone, no matter how big or small.
We believe that you rose again on the third day. And sealed that victory over sin for us.
And sealed that victory over sin for us.
We receive you, Jesus.
We receive you, Jesus.
And we receive your Holy Spirit.
And we receive your Holy Spirit.
We ask you, Holy Spirit.
We ask you, Holy Spirit.
To come inside.
To come inside.
And push out all of the darkness.
And push out all the darkness.
So that we can walk in the newness.
Of the Spirit of Life.
Jesus, be our Lord and King forevermore. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Praise you, Jesus. Amen. So I felt like we really needed to do that because I don't think a lot of times we understand how important Jesus is to us. Mm-hmm. You know, we just sometimes go through the motions, and we know that it's right. We know we need to serve the Lord. We know we need to share the gospel. But sometimes we forget how powerful Jesus actually is in our lives, in this world, in the entire universe upon universes upon universes. Jesus really is the King above all kings. He really is the Lord of all lords. You know, it does not matter. Whatever the devil has planned against us, it does not matter. Because Jesus is the victory over every single sin. Amen? So it's time to get past that so that we can live just like it says in Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
When you receive Jesus, he's in you and you're in him. Amen. You have to believe that. You have to understand it and get that revelation, because condemnation will come. Amen. When you mess up, the devil likes to just throw it in your face. He wants you to feel like you're nothing. Because if he can make you feel like you are nothing, then he can make you do nothing against him. Amen. And if you're not doing anything against him, then you're not winning any victories over him. And everything in your family, in your church, in your towns, your cities, this entire nation, you can't impact anything. You can't change anything if you're letting him control you instead of letting Jesus reign in your life. Amen? All right, let's go on in Romans 8. I'm going to start at verse 12. It says, so then, this is amplified still, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but not to our flesh, our human nature, our worldliness, our sinful capacity, to live according to the impulses of the flesh, our nature without the Holy Spirit. Amen. Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
Gee, we can't do all this without the Holy Spirit. Amen. We will fall right back into sin without the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. For if you are living according to the impulses of the flesh, you are going to die. But if you are living by the power of the Holy Spirit, you are habitually putting to death the sinful deeds of the body. You will really live forever. For all who are allowing themselves to be led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Amen. For you have not received a spirit of slavery, leading again to fear of God's judgment, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, the spirit producing sonship, by which we joyfully cry, Abba, Father, meaning that is the most intimate form of our Father God. It's like when our children, Mandy calls Michael Daddy. Daddy, that's who he is to her. Amen. That's who our God needs to be to us. So intimate and so personal that he's our daddy God. Amen. The Spirit himself testifies and confirms together with our spirit. Verse 16, assuring us that we believers are children of God. And if we are his children, then we are his heirs also. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, sharing his spiritual blessing and inheritance. If indeed we share in his suffering, so that we may also share in his glory. For I consider from the standpoint of faith that the sufferings of this present life are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is about to be revealed to us and in us. Amen. And this is the suffering that Paul is talking about, that even though we are going through this life and, you know, sometimes it really is hard.
Yeah, it is.
You know, but the hard thing also is sometimes we forget to care about life. Sometimes things get so hard and you go through the motions, or maybe things are so good and you're so blessed that you also go through the motions and that you stop caring about the thing that you need the most. Amen. When you stop recognizing that you actually need Jesus, when you stop recognizing that he is the one who is your Savior, he's the one who truly can get you from faith to faith and glory to glory. If you are stuck in one spot, then you're going to be there if you don't make the choice to go on with the Lord. If you don't recognize that you actually need Jesus, then you're going to be stuck there. And you're never going to see God do anything in your life. Amen? Unfortunately, that is where a lot of the church is. Because a lot of the church is okay with where they're at. They want to see God move, but only if God moves them. They don't want to make any effort to actually move toward God. And yet they expect God to move. And that's where we've been for so long. For so long, the body of Christ has been, well, you know, God will move when he moves, you know, God will move. But if we're not making any effort to go toward him, then it's like we don't even really need him. It's like he's just another person, another entity, another God that people talk about. And he doesn't really have any power. But he does. You know, I was watching when Israel was going through their things. They were having that music festival. And there was this God that they had set up. And I got to thinking, you know, Israel is still a lost nation as a people. And Jesus still desires to gather his people the same way. He still wants them to come to him. You know, and it's the same way with us. He broke that barrier of all sin. And he feels that same way about all of us. He wants every single one of us to not just be Christians. He wants us to be followers of him. Just like Michael was talking about last week. Not just going through the motions where we just, you know, we're okay with just coming to church. You know, if people get saved, they get saved. If people get healed, they get healed. You know, sometimes I think the body of Christ would rather see miracles than they would see Jesus. They would rather see his works and they would rather see his power than they would actually see Jesus. And that is a sad place for us to be in. You know, because it's like living in a kingdom and you're happy with what the king gives you and you're okay that you live in the prosperity of the kingdom and you're okay that he takes care of everything, but you never actually go to the king and you never actually thank him for what he's done. You never actually realize, oh, he's the one actually providing this for me. You know, you slowly start drifting away from having a relationship. And next thing you know, you're outside of the kingdom and you're wondering what even happened because you stopped going to the king. Amen? Okay, so skip down to verse 24. I'm going to read this out of the... Oh, no, I'm still going to do Amplified. For in this hope we are saved by faith, but hope, the object of which is seen, is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait eagerly for it with patience and composure. That's what we need to be doing. We need to be waiting for Jesus with an eagerness. We need to be wanting him more than anything else. Amen? In the same way, the Spirit comes to us and helps us in our weakness. We do not know what prayer to offer or how to offer it as we should, but the Spirit himself knows our need and at the right time intercedes on our behalf with sighs and groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because the Spirit intercedes before God on behalf of God's people in accordance with his will, with God's will. And we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his plan and purpose, for those whom he foreknew and loved and chose beforehand. Amen. You need to remember this. You are special in God's eyes. You are not just another person. You are loved and chosen beforehand. Amen. And it says, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son and ultimately share in his complete sanctification, so that he would be the firstborn, the most beloved and honored among many believers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified, declared free of the guilt of sin. And those whom he justified, he also glorified, raising them to a heavenly dignity. What then shall we say to all these things? And before I go on to this, I want you to pick out every time it says who, because these are the things that when you receive Jesus cannot be against you. Amen. Remember, you know, last week I talked about challenging every one of you to pick out a verse and remember it. And I was reading these verses, and it just was so powerful to me. I thought, this is the one. And then I was reading all of them, but I was like, particularly verse 33, it just stood out to me, you know, that this is who my God is. Amen. If God is for us, actually, I'm going to switch to King James. I'm sorry. Thank you, Lord. Verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? Jesus is the best who. Amen? Don't listen to all the other who's. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. So I just want to point these out because these are so powerful that whenever the devil comes at you, you tell him who he is. Amen. It says, who can be, verse 31, who can be successful against us? 33, who will bring any charge against God's elect, his chosen ones? 34, who is the one who condemns us? And then 35, who shall ever separate us from the love of Christ? You got to remember that nothing can come against you when you make Jesus, when you truly make him the Lord of your life. Amen. And then in verse 32, it says, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? In the Amplified, it says, graciously give us all things. And you know, also in the King James and every translation you go to, it always says all things. And I think it's funny because people bring it up all the time. In the Greek, especially Andrew Womack, in the Greek, all means all. Amen. There's not a thing that's missing. So if God says he will not only give you salvation, not only is he going to give you all of these things, his love, his healing, he gives you graciously, freely, all things. Amen. And we all know the verse, Jesus supplies all of our needs according to his riches and glory in him, in Christ Jesus. Amen. No other way. If you don't have all things, then there is something missing. Amen. I was just thinking about how sometimes we go through life and we are missing those things because God's promises are true. God is not slack on any of his promises. He assures us that he will provide all things for us. Amen. So whenever we don't have those things that we are supposed to have, that God has promised us, then there are certain things that we need to think about. Number one, what is in our hearts? Amen? Because if there is darkness in our hearts, then light can't get through to penetrate and to take care of whatever needs to be taken care of. So the first thing that you do, if there is something going on in your life, some blessing that is being held back, then you go to the Lord himself. Jesus knows your heart. He knows what's going on. He knows what sin is in our lives. He knows any shortcomings. You know, it says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So none of us can feel like, well, I'm pretty good. I'm doing okay. I'm doing okay. I'm a Christian. You know, I do the best I can. Yeah, I mess up sometimes, but I'm doing okay. No, our hearts should be in constant, be ye holy as I am holy. Jesus, what is it that's in my life that's not right? What is it that I have held back from you? What is it that I'm not living according to your will? What is it that you want for me so that I will recognize that I need you more than anything else? I know that there is this hardship in my life. God, what is it that I need to do for you? What is it that's in my heart so that I can get this taken care of? Amen? Sometimes God will show you it is just a simple little thing.
Yeah.
Maybe you just held some bitterness against someone. Maybe you just have this thing in your heart where God's telling you to do this and you don't want to be obedient to him. And so you're like holding that part back from him because you want to do things your own way. That's a real constant one for me. I have to really keep my heart in check on that one. Amen. And then also to find out what is also stopping your needs, you need to see that maybe the devil is attacking other people and to keep them from blocking your blessing in your life. Maybe you do have a blessing, but the devil is attacking their lives so that they can't be a blessing to you. Amen. The devil, you know, he knows who you're around all the time. So you have to think about, yes, you pray for yourself, obviously. You need to pray for your family. You need to pray for everyone that you're around, even if you don't like them. Amen? The Bible does not say you have to like someone. It says you have to love them. You know, we all have different characters. You know, we're all different people. Sometimes we irritate each other a little bit. That's just how it goes. But in our hearts, does that irritation mean that we still love that person or not? Does that irritation, is it becoming a point where you can't be around that person any longer? What is in your heart? Amen. Because God may be wanting to use that person to bless you. He may be wanting to use that person in your life, but because of a little irritation or bothering or, you know, whatever you may call it, the devil may be blocking that from you receiving a blessing into your life. Amen? We need the power of God to work in us, through us, and in everyone around us. Amen? Mm-hmm. So the very last thing I just want you to remember is Jesus knows your heart. You know, when we prayed that prayer earlier, Jesus knows if you have received him into your heart, into your life. You know, every part of you. Jesus knows if there's a part of you that you're not really wanting to give up. Jesus knows that. And I may not know everything about you, but Jesus does. And the thing is like, if you don't give up now, if you don't surrender that thing now, someday you will have to give it up. And it might be too late. Amen? So think about that now. Who is your Lord and Savior? And do you really need him? Yes, it's an obvious question, obvious answer to an obvious question. But you have to recognize that you need Jesus every single day. It is not a need that's just fulfilled on Sundays. It's not a need that's just fulfilled whenever you are desperate. Jesus, you need him in every single day and hour and minute and second of your life. You need him every single moment. Amen. Without him, you're just going to go through the motions. And let me tell you, don't get comfortable. Because if you are a Christian and you get comfortable with where you're at, that is a dangerous place to be. Because God, he wants us to go from glory to glory. And he wants us to go from faith to faith. That is what he's called us to do. And if we are comfortable with where we're at, like this glory is good enough. You know, this faith is good enough. I'm okay with where I'm at. I'm okay with this life. Then you're never going to grow any further. Amen. And a lot of Christians, they go through their whole lives. They sense that one glory moment of God in their lives. And they think, that's enough. You know, I'm okay. I'm okay. You know, I've made the decision to follow the Lord and I'm okay now. But we're not. We need to keep going. You know, relationships are meant to be fostered. They're meant to be taken care of. You know, like if I use this illustration because it's personal, but Michael and I have a really good relationship because we communicate. But if he came home and never talked to me, or if I came home and never talked to him, it would be a sad relationship, you know, because communication is what brings us together. You know, we make decisions together because we communicate with each other, you know, and we need that every single day. If we went for a week without talking, I would be a mess. If we went through a night without talking, I would be a mess. Because we're so close, our relationship with each other. And I think that a lot of God's people, they're at this point where they're just a mess. They have missed Jesus needing him. And they sometimes you don't even recognize because you've gotten so far away from him. You know, you have him, and then you have the world, and the world is enough, so you don't always go to him. But let me tell you, the world is not enough. It is not enough. I don't care what lies the enemy tells you. I don't care what people come to you and they're like, well, it's, you know, let's just do this all the time and let's just do that and, you know, and all these distractions. But Jesus needs to be the number one Lord of your life. Amen. Just like Michael is my husband and he's always a part of my life. You know, if you're not married, Jesus needs to be your husband. You need to be thinking about him constantly. And he needs to be the number one person in your life. Amen. And even if you are married, I wouldn't be able to get along with Michael. Michael wouldn't be able to get along with me if we didn't have Jesus in the very center of our relationship. Just like I read a few weeks ago, a threefold cord is not easily broken. You know, so without him, we wouldn't be able to survive. Amen. We know that we need him, and we make an effort to get to him every day. But again, we don't want to get comfortable with, we only have this much of Jesus, and that's it. Amen? You need him. All right? Go ahead and stand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you have memorized a verse, do not forget it. Amen. Keep that in your heart. God is not slack concerning his promises. He will fulfill his word. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, God, we thank you. We thank you that you are right here with us. Jesus, we choose to recognize that we need you. We need you today. We need you tomorrow. We need you forever. Not just a temporary relationship. Not just a little fling, but we need a full-on relationship with you, Jesus. A close-knit relationship. Help us, Lord, put in each one of us a deep hunger and thirst and desire for more of you, God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Put that in us, God. Let it rise up. Let it come forth and be fully number one in our lives. In Jesus' name. God, we thank you for the lost. We thank you, Lord, for saving and setting free our families, amen, our relatives, our cities, our towns, and our nation. Thank you for the lost all around the world, God, for sending laborers to the harvest. And God, help us, Lord, where we are to be those laborers, to rise up and minister what you want ministered by your Holy Spirit. God, we thank you, Lord. We praise you and we worship you. Lord, I ask that you would bless every single person here. Bless them financially. Bless them spiritually. Bless them physically with any ailments or sickness in their bodies. Bless them with healing. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father God, that all blessings come from you. And we trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord.